Our reading tonight begins in Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. And we're going to do something just a little bit different tonight. We're going to have a two-part reading because I want us to get some of the broad sweep of Paul's argument in Galatians. So we'll read from chapter 3 a little bit, and then we'll have another reading from chapter 5. So chapter 3, verse 5, to begin with. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Now, turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we will begin in verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Let us pray together. Righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. We value your word far more than fine gold or jewels, any amount of fame or power. Your word brings life. Righteous Father, we pray that you help us day by day to revere you by keeping your commandments and your instructions that you have given to us through the ages. We thank you, Father, for the salvation that you have given us through faith in Christ Jesus. And we pray, Father, that as we attempt to live in his way, that we listen to his words. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So last week, we began to consider what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, that all Scripture is breathed out by God, that is inspired by God, and is profitable for teaching, that is doctrine, and it's profitable for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, we talked about how the apostles used the law to teach about Christian teaching, to teach about doctrine. We did that last week. And I'll repeat again what I said last week. We're not at liberty to establish doctrine from the law, but we are to explain and illustrate the doctrines of the church from the law. We often say that doctrine means nothing if it's not applied. Right? We can understand doctrine at the idea level. That's one thing. But remember, James tells us that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Right? We've not actually heard the word, not in the biblical sense. We've not listened to the word of God if we're not doing it. Right? If it's not coming out of our fingertips, it hasn't really gone in our ears. Doctrine is meant to guide our behavior, which is why Paul says that Scripture is profitable for not just for teaching, but for reproof and correction, which will be the subject of our message tonight. Reproof and correction. All right, these are two aspects of the same process, two different sides of the process of repentance. And this is another one of those examples where things dovetail in really nicely today, because Jason had talked about quite a bit of some of the things we're going to talk about tonight in Bible class this morning, and this was not something that we coordinated. I'm barely coordinated with myself, let alone with others. Remember what repentance is. Right? To repent means to turn. That's the literal meaning of the word repent, is turn around. And there are two aspects to turning. Right? There's what you are turning away from, on the one hand, and there's what you are turning towards, on the other hand. It is not enough to turn away from sin if you're not also turning towards the will of God. Right? Because if you're turning away from one sin and you're not turning towards the will of God, where you're turning is just towards another sin. Right? It's like what Jason said this morning, that the Scriptures never just tell us what to get rid of, right, what to stop doing, but also tell us what to replace that with, what we ought to be doing instead. True repentance requires both of those things. Reproof and correction are the teaching of those things. Reproof is the act of pointing out a thing that needs to be repented of. Right? And you can fill in the blank here. Right? You've been committing fornication or adultery, or you've been taking the Lord's name in vain, or you've been gossiping, or you've been promoting an incorrect or false doctrine. Or again, there's all kinds of ways that we can fill in that blank. Either you are doing something that you shouldn't have been doing, or you failed to do something that you should have done. All right, but reproof is pointing out the error. Those are the things to turn away from. Reproof is addressing those things with the person or people guilty of them. Correction is the other half of things. And again, you can fill in the blank. Instead, you ought to be constraining your passions to marriage, or you ought to be speaking of the Lord reverently, or you ought to be exercising discernment and restraint in your speech, or you ought to learn the way more accurately. The point is that Paul says that all Scripture is profitable for both reproof and correction. And this includes the law. Our text this evening models the way that Paul uses the law for reproof and correction. All right, so as he's talking to the Galatians in the two passages that we read tonight, what error are the Galatians engaged in? Right, if you look at our reading from chapter 3, you look at our reading from chapter 5, what is it that the Galatians are guilty of that they need to stop doing? Know then, right, that those who rely on works of the law are under a curse, Paul says. Right, they are trying to rely on works of the law for their righteousness. And we read in chapter 5, specifically they want to rely on circumcision. Right, that's one of the specific points of difficulty with them, that they have bought into this teaching that was fairly common in the first century in some circles, that for a person to be a good Christian, they first have to be essentially a good Jew, right? They have to obey the law of Moses, obey the customs of Moses, beginning with circumcision. Right, in other places in the letter, we read of other things that are going on, but they're all of a piece, right? For example, in chapter 4, verse 10, we read that they also want to rely on their observance of a religious calendar for their righteousness. Now, to be clear, the problem is not that they're being circumcised. Right? Paul tells us, in fact, we read it tonight, in our the very last verse in our reading in chapter 5, Paul tells us that in Christ, circumcision and uncircumcision don't count for anything. In other words, they are immaterial for Christians. And the same thing goes with keeping a calendar. Paul makes that clear in Romans chapter 14. The observance of days, or the decision not to observe days, is immaterial to the faith. The Galatians' error is that they want to make these things material for the faith. They want to make these things essential for the faith. Again, they've bought into that Judaizing teaching. To be a good Christian, first you must keep the customs of Moses. So they not only want to keep these customs, but to base their righteousness off of them. And Paul uses the very law that they want to rely on to show them that they are in error. And it's a pretty simple lesson, too. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. All right, Paul's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. Paul reminds them, in Galatians 5:3, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. All right, so that's consistent with what Paul had quoted from Deuteronomy 27. Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Right, I forget how many, the exact number. It's in the 600s. 600 some odd commandments in the Torah, right, in the law of Moses. Right, let's say, we'll just pull a number out of the hat. We'll say 656. What happens if you keep 655 of those commandments? What does the law say? You are cursed. Yes, you are guilty. James puts it another way in his letter. Right? If you're guilty on one point, you're a transgressor of the law. That's what Paul brings up. Now, the whole problem of the law, of course, is that people won't keep it. We talked about that in a previous lesson in this series, so I'm not going to belabor that point again tonight. What I want us to notice is that Paul uses the law itself to point out this error. Because the scripture is, as Paul told Timothy, profitable for reproof. And this happens all over the New Testament. Both the apostles and our Lord will point to the law and then point to you and me and say, all right, here's where you're wrong. Paul also uses the law and the prophets to show the Galatians the way that they should go. Again, it's not enough for him just to point out where they're wrong. He needs to show them how to get right. And he uses the law for that as well. All right, this is what he writes in Galatians 3:7. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Right? And again, later on, Paul says, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. Quoting from the prophets there. And again, later on, Paul says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. All right, so over and over and over again, the law and the prophets testify that righteousness is by faith. Faith in Christ. Right, it's bound up in the story of Abraham. Paul also does this in Romans. Right? And when he does it there, in Romans 4, he points out, right, when you're reading the story of Abraham, what is counted to Abraham as righteousness? It's his belief. Right? God comes to Abraham and says, you know, get up out of your country, go to the place that I will show you. Abraham believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And so the law itself is showing us, through the example of Abraham, what righteousness is. That righteousness is by faith. And then Paul just makes the connection for us, right? That it is by Christ, because Christ became a curse for us so that we could receive the blessing of Abraham. So we rely on the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, not on works of the law, our own works for righteousness. We lay hold of the righteousness of Christ through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? That is the only way to stand righteous before God. There's no other way. There's no other name, as was quoted from the scriptures this morning. Right? If you're seeking some other means of righteousness before God, you need to correct your course. You need to, I mean, Paul is telling the Galatians they need to repent. They are going the wrong direction. They need to turn around and go the correct direction, lest they be severed from Christ and fall away from grace. So thus, as we see, the scripture is profitable for correction as well as for reproof. Pretty simple lesson this evening. Pretty basic premise. But it's important for us to understand that we've got, again, this book, when we approach this book, it is not, you know, one quarter instructions, you know, for reproof and correction, for training in righteousness, and three quarters museum piece. All of this book is profitable for reproof and correction. And we do this, I mean, we do this habitually, as we ought to. You know, when we talk about the necessity of following God's instructions to the letter, worshiping God in the way that God commanded, what stories do we often turn to? Almost always stories from the Old Testament, right? You could probably name a few characters. Nadab and Abihu, Uzzah, they're there for our instruction, to show us what error looks like and what the consequence of error is, to reprove us and correct us. So the call this evening is to obey the scriptures, to be in the inspired words constantly, all of them. Compare your own manner of living to what you hear in the word, and to soften your heart and allow the scriptures to reprove you and to correct you. And if you see your brother wandering astray, turn to the scriptures for reproof and correction. Right? Give a scriptural explanation. Here's what's going on, and here's why from the word it shouldn't be going on this way. Here's what you ought to be doing. Here's why from the word I can tell you this is what we ought to be doing. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. The invitation is for all to be doers of the word and not hearers only, to obey the good news of Jesus Christ by turning away from sin towards the way of God, confessing Jesus as Lord, being baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection for the remission of sins, and continuing in that way, not like the Galatians, who so quickly were ready to abandon the gospel. So whether you need to obey for the first time, or you need the prayers of the congregation, or to publicly repent for anything, we stand ready to help if you'll make your